station.
Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Here's where we are with this show right now. I tried for 4.5 years, Bob and Jeff. It's now Bob. I control everything, pal.
Jeff Lutz.
Like the harsh realities of life are slapping you in the face right now, and I don't think you can handle it.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are we still on?
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. It's a Friday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio, Bob Lutz and Jeff Lutz, co-hosting, as always, Max Power, as always, producing and engineering, and as always, the hotline, 869-1240. We're headed out after the show today for a little gathering down in the Old Town at the Pump House. You fired up for it? You looking forward to it?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Can't wait.
What's the matter today?
Nothing's the matter.
Well, something's wrong. Did the Guardians play already?
No. I'm not upset. I have a little bit of a headache. I went outside and it was very hot. Walked for a little while. Didn't do wonders for me, but I'll be fine.
We're in for a heat wave. But it's late July. That's kind of to be expected, right?
Yeah, and it's going to get hotter. And I don't think anybody's looking forward to that.
Well, what do we have here? We have 91 tomorrow, that's tolerable. Then 97, then next week 102, 103, 103, 102, 100. And the week after that, high 90s. Before some kind of a respite coming up around August the 8th, according to my weather app. We'll see.
Yeah, your weather app, whatever. Not the weather app, but a weather app.
I don't do the KWCH weather app.
Well, that's your problem. If you don't want accuracy and if you don't want, someone with their feet on the ground here with a vested interest in what's happening in Wichita, then, yeah, just use your old generic weather app.
The Weather Channel.
No vested interest. Who do you think?
As far as I'm concerned, they are the national source of weather.
Who do you think cares more about Wichita weather, the Weather Channel or Ross Jansen?
Let me get back to you on that.
Well, you're wrong. Wrong answer.
Listen, Ross is a wonderful guy. Does a fine job.
You don't know him.
All of our weather people.
What if he's not a wonderful guy?
Well, I've never met Ross.
That's what I'm saying. You don't know.
I don't know why I've never met Ross. I've met Lisa Teachman. I met Jay Prater. I don't know. They keeping Ross from me in some way?
Maybe.
You know, back when I worked briefly for KSN, do you remember those days?
Not too long ago.
And worked is a loose term. I was doing a daily column for them.
Daily?
Not a daily, a weekly column.
Week?
Yeah, a weekly column.
Maybe every other week.
No, it was weekly.
How much did they pay you for that?
A pretty good sum.
Really?
Yeah, not bad. And if I went back to them today, they'd hire me in a heartbeat.
Nobody knows who you are over there.
Why do you?
We've moved
now
on.
That was mean.
Wichita's kind of moved on, you know? We got a lot of young people in the market.
Well, there's some truth to that. I don't mind that. Of course Wichita's moved on. I haven't written a column in the for several years.
You know, yeah, and I think
what my point was that we did a 30-minute television special before the NCAA tournament. What year was that when it was here? 2019, I believe, right?
Something like
and,
that.
And I was on the set with, notice how I called it set.
Might have been 18.
No, it was 19.
Okay.
And I was on the set with Jeff Herndon and Lisa Teachman, and it just, we had a great time.
I'm glad.
I did really well.
Okay.
You watched it, didn't you?
No, I have no memory.
You don't remember seeing it.
We didn't have Channel 3.
Where'd you live, for crying out loud?
We didn't have Channel 3. We were streaming, and we didn't have channel. We didn't do the.
Where'd you live at the time?
We didn't do the antenna thing. We lived on 21st. It has nothing to do with where we were living. It's
you didn't live on 21st in 2018.
17th, whatever it was.
When did you move this to the out in the country?
2020.
Well, so where'd you live in 2018?
I just told you.
On 21st?
17th, off of 21st.
And you didn't have Channel 3?
No, we didn't have it. It's not that we couldn't get it. We didn't have it.
Did you have 10?
We didn't have any channels. We did not have television.
Why? What kind of minimalistic nutcase were you in those days? What'd you do? Go out and hunt squirrels?
Yeah, because if you don't have a $3,000 a month cable plan, then you're a rural backwoods idiot.
Well, I mean, did you have a stove?
The people who still have cable, suckers.
Did you have a stove?
Not going to address that.
So you're calling me a sucker?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, I don't have cable.
If you're still paying that much,
I have DirecTV.
Same diff. You know what I'm saying.
And because I have DirecTV, I'm able to tune into a lot of different things.
Well, that's fantastic.
Every baseball game.
Me too.
Not really.
Yeah, really.
Not on your TV. You can do it on your phone.
Of course I can on my TV. What do you think I watch baseball?
No. I don't believe you do that.
Well, you can believe whatever you want. Believing isn't going to get you anywhere, but I'll tell you the truth.
You've been angry this week. I think too much of me makes you angry.
I don't think so.
That's the feeling I get.
Not angry.
I feel like you are.
I'm not angry, but there's
a tone to your voice.
It's always just go at Jeff. Did you have a stove? You can't watch baseball. You didn't have Channel 3.
That's the way you're dealing with somebody whose mind works this way.
Okay, well then let me come at you.
Do you want me to be kinder and gentler?
No, but let me. If you're going to call me mean and angry, then you got to deal with it.
Go with it. I mean, I'm right here.
I'm going to come out swinging, as always. You push me back, I'll swing.
I've never lost a battle to you.
Please.
A verbal tussle, I
won. You are one of the worst arguers, and that's coming from somebody who knows all the tricks and all the manipulations. You are among the worst arguers in the history of the world.
Oh, that's funny.
You move facts.
Why do I win them all?
You don't.
I don't. It's just amazing to me.
See, that's an instance of you being a bad arguer.
The NBC World Series underway. Two games last night. The Monarchs from Hutch beat TPA Texas, but a pretty good game, 5-2 in the opener. They honored the great Satchel Paige. His grandson was in town for a ceremony. Kudos to them for doing that. Satchel Paige pitched in the very first NBC World Series all the way back in 1935. So this is the 90th tournament. He was there for the first. His grandson was on the field last night for a ceremony.
How old is his grandson? I was estimating around 70.
Yeah, I would guess, but it was great to have him there. And kudos again to Katie Woods and her staff for making that happen. Seattle beat the Tulsa Sandlot team. Why would you name a team Sandlot?
I don't know why any of these. Why would you name it TBT Tulsa or whatever they were called?
I mean,
why would you name them the Boulder Collegians?
Texas. The Collegians go back a long way.
Okay,
if you're going to start knocking.
Why would you name them that?
If you're going to start knocking the Boulder Collegians, you're going to have to go through me.
Why would you name your team the Foresters? I mean, there's a lot.
Because Santa Barbara is surrounded by forests.
Why would you name your team the Studs?
Because this team is sponsored by a lumber company.
What do studs have to do with lumber?
Oh, my God. are you that derelict?
Yeah, I am. I'm a derelict. Tell me what studs have to do with lumber. You tell me.
You don't know.
You tell me.
No, you don't know.
That's
I'm not
going
to tell you.
That's correct.
I am not going to
you. Do
tell
not
you.
Know.
I absolutely
then tell
do
me.
Know.
Educate me.
I do know.
Tell me.
Now, I'm not telling you.
You better.
Because it's alarming to me
okay,
that you
Okay, well,
don't.
Then I know.
What is it?
Not going to tell you.
Okay, good.
Are you going to tell me?
Nope. But that's why they're named that. Why are the Boulder Collegians named the Collegians? Because they're in Boulder, University of Colorado.
Right.
Their team was made up of college players.
As are all these
I don't
teams.
Know if it's still that way, but very few teams have the history in the NBC World Series as the Boulder Collegians. When they played, you had to be there. You understand what I'm saying?
Did the Studs win? They played last night, right?
Yeah, they won 9-0. I just said that.
Well, I missed it. When are we going to have Barry Adin on the show?
Love Barry Adin. I'll get him on.
He likes to bunt, and I like to go at him for it.
Oh, yeah, well.
And I would.
I'm sure really intimidated.
He probably does tell his friends, man, sometimes I really like going on that show, but it's tough because some of my backward baseball strategies are called out, and that's the only time it happens. So maybe he'll come on, maybe he won't.
You know what? I want you to say that exact thing to him. He'll chew you up and spit you out.
I'd love that.
You'd love him to do that?
Yeah, of course.
He knows so much more about baseball than you do. I mean, it's just...
What makes you think that?
Well, because he knows something about baseball.
Well, as do I, believe it or not.
You couldn't manage a game. You couldn't coach a game.
Absolutely.
You've never coached in your life.
I could very well manage a game.
Could you coach a game?
Yes.
Could you coach a team?
No, but I could manage a game.
Why couldn't you coach a team?
I'm not a good, I'm not an instructor. I'm a manager. I call the shots. I make the moves. I'm like the CEO. I've got underlings. You teach the game. I get it.
Because you can't teach the game.
I'm not a good teacher.
You don't know anything about the game.
I know everything about the game, but I'm not a good teacher. And I'll manage.
Why was I able to coach all these
years?
Were you? Am I a good teacher?
I guess.
Am I a good
coach? Do you feel like you taught us the game?
Sure.
Or was that more of a Randy Smith?
No, I taught the game.
Yeah, I guess you did.
Especially the pitchers. And what I teach mostly is I'm very much in the Brent Chemnitz school of coaching. And not because I have this, although I do have this great admiration for Brent and the way he went about things, but I completely believe in his approach to the mental side of baseball.
Okay.
That's the most important part. I tease Brent a lot about really all he teaches pitchers mechanically is to throw strikes and keep the ball down.
Right.
But it's the mental part of it. Show no emotion. That's a huge one. Because once a pitcher becomes emotional, all bets are off.
Probably. I mean, that's the way we've always thought about the game. I've not seen... I mean, pitchers get emotional. Pump their fists, coming off the mound.
Sure, but once they start to display emotion during the course of a game, like if you're contesting calls and balls and strikes, and a lot of pitchers do that, I just don't think it's good for them.
I'm going to be the antithesis of that. I don't play baseball anymore. But, you know, we as men get beat into us from day one. Don't show emotion. It's weak to show emotion. I'm gonna show emotion in all aspects of my life from now on. You okay with that?
No, you're an idiot.
Why?
You just kind of are.
Why?
You're a nice guy. But just to immediately decide... You know what? My dad's talking about don't show emotion.
No, I just...
Now I think probably that's the way I need to go through
life. I don't like that don't show emotion. I mean, I get that it's useful at times.
You're one who never shows emotion. You don't ever show emotion.
Right, because it's beat into us that we can't.
I show emotion all the time.
Like when?
Right now, I'm emotional. I get emotional frequently. I get emotional in a good way. And I get emotional in a not so good way, but it happens all the time.
That sounds like instability. Instability.
Well, if somewhat unstable.
You don't? Do you like
most
that?
People are?
You think so?
Maybe. Sure, most unstable? People are to some degree. Not 100%. Everybody's got some instability.
Would you consider me unstable?
No, you're like a drone.
Just, so unstable is kind of a compliment, a badge of honor.
No, it depends on the degree.
But you said I'm not, but you said it kind of, you're not. No, you're not. Like it was derogatory.
Nah, you're not.
I was called unstable by a former boss.
Well, you might be. I don't know. I'm not. I don't work with you.
I didn't like that guy.
Well, I don't work with you. Maybe you are unstable. I don't know how you are to work with.
I'm outstanding to work with.
People who I worked with who I viewed as unstable weren't fun.
I am the same every day, pretty much. I'm pretty steady at work.
Well, good. Then I'm proud of that.
Thanks.
I went to work and did my job. Did I have emotions? You damn right I did.
Sometimes I get frustrated and annoyed or upset, but those times are very few and far between, and I don't make a big scene out of it.
I think emotions can be a good thing. They help drive people. I use anything I can get to help drive me, because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to stay driven. So you got to reach down for anything you can think of or manufacture or whatever it is to help drive you.
Sure helps.
You're not that way at all.
You don't know what I am.
Well, from based on what I see, that's not how you operate.
How so?
I just don't see it.
But what do you see that is the opposite of that, or that suggests that
I'm more mild. I don't think you're as I don't think you run as hot as I do. Which is fine. I'm not saying you should run hot. I'm not saying that running hot is a positive. I'm not saying that at all. Sometimes I wish I didn't run as hot as I do. But I'm always running hot. It's
okay.
Hard for me to cool off. It's hard for me to pour water in my radiator. Does that make sense?
What does that
mean? Remember the days when we had radiators in our cars?
Yeah, don't we
still? Radiators were... Notice how I jump around here. Radiators were a pain.
Is this the only thing you know about cars, is basically?
No, not really. I know that back in the day when radiators would overheat, and I don't know, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. I don't know. These engines are all computerized. But nothing sets you back like an overheated radiator.
Did you figure out what was wrong with your vehicle?
No, I haven't yet. It hadn't done it. As long as I don't drive it at high speed, I don't hear
it. Like a speed thing? Is it going to blow up if you
I don't know. If it does, have a good time. My wife will get some money and hopefully she enjoys life.
Split it.
Hopefully she enjoys life.
Yeah, hopefully. That'd be nice.
If my car blows up, what am I going to do?
What is the speed, though, that's just kind of the threshold?
Well, if you get on the highway.
So you're taking back streets more often now?
Well, I'm just driving in the city, which is 90% of my driving.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I go to and from League 42, to and from the accountant's office, to and from Leakers.
The accountant's office?
Yeah, I visit League 42 as accountant.
Oh.
Quite often. That's what I do.
Leakers. Did you have Leakers last night?
No. We ordered Ziggy's Pizza last night. You cannot go wrong.
If you aren't going to have pizza today?
I don't know what I'm having.
At the Pump House?
I don't know.
Best pizza in Wichita?
I don't know what I'm having. Ziggy's is hard to beat.
Ziggy's is very good.
You get their Ziggy, what's that called? Just the meat one?
I don't know.
Meet me at Ziggy's. And it's just so good. Now, most pizza is good. It's hard to screw up a pizza.
Pretty difficult.
But this one has great crust, a great sauce, the meat's flavorful, and then they have these garlic cheese bread that's tremendous.
Oh, there you go.
So that's
maybe not pizza for you tonight at the Pump House.
Well, don't worry about what it.
David,
why are you so worried about what I get?
David Michael Hahn and I, and, you know, this is something that could very likely not come to fruition. I don't want to...
You're going
to
go do karaoke.
Yeah.
We're going to have dinner at 4:30. I'm out of there by 5:30. I don't know.
I'm saying we'll retreat back and then maybe go do karaoke.
You're not doing that.
Later.
No. You know what?
Or we might do it tomorrow.
Maybe.
And the place we're going to go to do karaoke is Mad Rocks.
In Derby?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it seemed like the most upscale establishment I could find that has karaoke tonight.
I
want as big of an audience as possible.
You're a travesty.
Why?
I don't know. That just seemed... as big an audience, you think people are actually going to listen to you sing?
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't they? Aren't they out there?
Because nobody listens when a karaoke singer.
Unless they're awesome, so here you go.
I texted Duda, still on for today. 4:30. And then he just texted me too. What's the me too?
I'm sure he agreed with some insult you made of me. That'd be my guess.
Why are you and I
are kind of at odds lately. I don't know.
I can't get it. You're the one at odds,
it's
not
kinda
him.
It's kind of like a Cold War.
Oh, he's saying me too, leaving at 5:30.
Well, whatever. That's an hour. That's a good time.
We'll have dinner and enjoy one another's company. And
no one
hang
was thinking
out.
We were going to stay for 3 hours.
Yeah, I got to get home and watch the Cardinals. I got baseball to watch. I got an early morning tomorrow. I don't have much time. So,
well, I want you to at least when you're there, engage and be there and don't think about everything else you got. Go just be with us and have a good time.
What else would I do?
I don't know. I don't know what you'd do. But you're already talking about all getting out of there and doing other things. So let's just...
Well, I got the Cardinals.
Just
and
for
I
that
wanna,
hour, just...
I enjoy being home. Now, I'm going.
We all do.
I'll enjoy it. There was a time in my life where I didn't enjoy being home. You know?
Sure.
I enjoyed being out.
There's never been that time for me.
Well, there was for me for about 30 years.
It's all good.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Bill Pintard, the coach, manager, skipper, the man with the Santa Barbara Foresters. They're in action tonight at the NBC World Series at 6 o'clock against GPS Legends. Bill Pintard, our guest next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right, we are back working on getting Bill Pintard on the show. Santa Barbara, again, in action tonight. They're 24-10 this year, which doesn't seem all that impressive, but then you remember they play a tough schedule.
Yeah, they play out on the West Coast with a lot of good teams. They have Division I players up and down their roster, and so do... I assume they're opponents most often. But we know Santa Barbara's going to be a force in the NBC World Series, as it is every year.
Yeah, their pitching staff includes folks from Fresno State, Texas A&M, TCU, Ohio State, Santa Barbara. It's loaded with D1 players. So they're obviously going to have pitching.
Yeah, high Division I
players. They have three catchers who come from UCLA, Texas Tech, and Cal. All of their infielders, except for one, are D1 players. And except for one, two, three, four, most of their outfielders are D1 players.
They got a kid named DiMaggio. I got to figure out what's going on there.
Well, his name is Jesse DiMaggio. He's from Santa Barbara.
Yeah, we know.
I'm gonna guess he's not related to Joe, but I don't know.
There's not a lot of DiMaggios, and Joe is from the West Coast.
Well, he's got a space in his last name, which Joe didn't.
So did he?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess it was just a capital, not a space, for Joe D.
If we get Mr. Pintard, we can certainly ask him about it.
Yeah, I would guess that he's not. Otherwise, when you Google him, I would believe that that's all you'd see, a grandnephew of Joe DiMaggio or whatever, but not seeing that.
Well, that's what did I tell you again? I try to lead you in the right direction, and sometimes you follow and sometimes you don't.
Sometimes. What are you going to do?
But this is a reminiscent team, and they have been forever.
No shockers on the team.
No shockers. I don't think they had any last year either. The Hutch Monarchs have three, including Gustafson, Jordan Gustafson.
Jaden
Gustafson from Mays.
Yeah.
Who's a mainstay.
Well, we gotta get that team, the Shockers, got to take that next step this year.
I didn't know one of their pitchers, Jack Mount. How much did he pitch for the Shockers this year?
I don't know.
He's on the Monarchs, and he's from Quebec.
Really?
Why didn't we get him on the show? I'd love to talk to him.
Well, there's always time. Did he pitch yesterday?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the box score.
That's unfortunate.
I don't know if he pitched yesterday.
Neither have I, to be honest.
That's not necessarily my job, is to check every box.
Santa Barbara plays tonight, I assume?
They do. I've said that three times.
Well, I forget some of the things that you say.
The way that we can best reach our listeners is to be on the same page.
I forget things a lot of people say, so don't take it.
Well, that means you're not listening.
Jack Mount did pitch 21 games, started one for the Shockers.
They have a good year?
No. But I'm sure he'll bounce back. He's got a little bit of strikeout stuff, 23 and 24 and two-thirds innings, but had a 6.20 ERA. Hitters hit well against him, but, you know, it's still early for Jack. He'll get it put together.
I wonder if my friend Bill Pintard is starting to forget things.
What do you mean?
Well, we set this up, and
well,
guys he said, stuff. I'll be happy to talk to you. We're going to be hitting at that time, but I'll be available.
Well, they're hitting, I guess.
Well, he said he'd be available.
Is he not pitching BP?
No, Bill's not pitching BP. He's got other people to do that.
That's good. I didn't know if he still did it or not.
Well, I mean, I don't think he does.
I don't know.
In this heat? Maybe they're indoors somewhere.
That's optimal.
But no, I wouldn't imagine. I did not throw much BP this year for the very first time in my life. I turned that over.
It's not a bad idea.
Now, when I did throw it, I still had it.
Still got it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Here's our friend Bill Pintard. We're going to talk with him for a little bit. Santa Barbara here again. And they're not the defending champion. It's been a while since we said that. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm good, Bob. How you doing over there?
We're doing okay. Are you hitting indoors or outdoors this afternoon?
We're hitting indoors right now.
Good.
It's kind of hot. Still hot.
Probably a good thing. So tell us about your team. When we just look at the roster and the stats, it looks like your typical Santa Barbara team with a lot of Division I players. How good is this team in your estimation?
We're gonna have to play good to get through this. We like a lot of summer teams with the portal and all the movement going on. We've lost some players. We probably lost 8 off our roster, but you know what we got? We're here to compete and we're here to battle. I don't think we hit as well as we have in the past. But our starters are good. And, you know, you just got to line it up in the NBC. You got to be a little lucky and good at the same time.
Is there a hitting profile or just traits or things that you've seen that suggest when college hitters are also going to be good hitters with wood bats? Or if you're just a good hitter, are you probably going to be a good hitter with a wood bat anyway?
I think you're going to be, if you're going to be a good hitter with metal, if you're going to be a good hitter with wood, you're going to be a good hitter with metal. The way the metal bat helps you, it helps you when you make contact, non-barrel contact, and you kind of stick your butt out and just throw the hands at the ball and hit the blooper down the right field. That helps you with metal, will help you do that. But, you know, the sweet spot on a wood bat, maybe 4 to 6 inches, and it's a little bit bigger on the metal bat. But
talking with Bill Pintard, longtime leader of the Santa Barbara California Foresters, they're in action tonight. 6 o'clock against GPS Legends. Where's this GPS Legends team out of, Bill?
They're out of Texas. We don't know a lot about them. They're out of Texas. They got they have some D1 guys. They got a pitcher from Rice. Got a pitcher from New Mexico. that's how their arms will match up. And they also have a couple hitters throughout their lineup that are good, solid hitters. A guy named Maddox and a couple of the other ones. But I think, you know, I think it's going to be down who hits a little bit better. You know, it usually does. But I know we're going to pitch for a while. Our starter, you know, he hasn't been pushed out a long time, not a lot of innings. But and then I think our relief four will be okay tonight. We just had to shut down our closer, and because he was also a catcher at Michigan, so he's not going to be pitching for us, but he's going to be hitting. He's an old school player. He's a catcher.
I like that. I'd never heard of a closer who was also a catcher. That's
this
pretty
guy
amazing.
Is unbelievable at Michigan. He caught two games and they pitched the third one and took a no hitter into the seventh.
Wow.
And
Bill Pintard, our guest.
He'll be playing left field for us tonight. So, yeah.
So you mentioned earlier in the interview the transfer portal and how you've lost some players because of the transfer portal. We know NIL's infiltrated college athletics. We know college baseball, the scholarship limit is increasing, which I believe will be a good thing for college baseball. Where are we in the world of college baseball? How do you see it from your vantage point
there's not a lot of loyalty. It's a double-edged deal, and I think it's necessary. Like if a college player is out of school and the coach that recruited him, he has a right to leave. Well, that college player should have a right to leave too, right? Because the guy he recruited wanted to go play for is no longer there. So I think that's a fair deal. And then some of the guys, when they do get a new coach and they go in there and they're going to say, hey, you're not going to play here much. So then that kid should go in the portal. And he should go in the portal and go to a place where he's going to figure that he's going to play and somebody wants him. So it's, and then the other thing is it used to be allowed one transfer portal. Well, now they can transfer every year if they want. And they are hunting NIL money. Some guys are getting $100,000. I'm sure some of them might be getting more. So how it reflects on summer ball, okay, so you're signed up to play summer ball and you're coming from a certain university where you have a rapport with the coach and they're loyal to each other because the coach's summer ball is trying to get that player better. And the coach from from the school that plays them wants his player to get better. And then all of a sudden he transfers and he goes to a program that has no allegiance to the summer ball contract. And they can say, hey, well, listen, we just signed you. We want you to come in early and get some work. So that's kind of how it's. So we have lost guys. And then kids that go in the transfer portal and they're being recruited, I know they have to look at other schools. And so they take a trip. So they're gone for 3 days. So they're gone for about 3 days, okay? And then they come back. And how much did they miss their bullpens or anything else? I think it's going to be a struggle for summer ball, and I think you're going to have a state of flux. I know the Cape is Cape's battling it too. Are you still there?
We're
still here. We're just listening, Bill. You're educating us.
So are you still 100% all in on the NBC World Series? How much do you weigh your options every summer? And, you know, the tournament has made strides to, I don't know, change. I guess we'll just go with the overarching word. Have you noticed anything like that? And what is your relationship still with the NBC?
Oh, the relationship is great. I think the question you asked, I lost it for a second about the NBC and the changes that they've made.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's been good. It's I think the new commissioner has been, you know, she added back baseball around the clock. I don't know if that was popular, and I don't know if she added that, but the communication is really, really good. You know, they're on Twitter now more or whatever they call it, Instagram. They're publicizing the NBC. And it's been a kind of a shot in the arm for it. I'm, you know, for a long time, the NBC under Lance Dekinger and Larry Davis, and they used to send out things during the middle of the year, the leading hitters and things like that. Then it kind of ran, the NBC was just kind of ran itself. So, but I think it's very refreshing. I think she's done a really good job.
Talking about Katie Woods, now the tournament director for the National Baseball Congress. Bill Pinto is our guest. And this tournament, I mean, I think it was probably nothing against the Foresters, who are certainly one of the all-time great franchises. But I think it was, I'm not going to say it was needed, but I don't think it hurt that you didn't win last year, because you were starting to win so often that sometimes our attention and our interest wanes. It's good to have competition, right?
Oh yeah,
Seattle's been that. You know,
they Hutchinson was good, and they were hot through the whole tournament. They were good, and we didn't get it done. And like I said, we're down a little bit this year, and we're gonna have to fight and scratch to stay alive to get to that final game. So yeah, the competition is good. I think the state of it of the NBC is healthier.
Bill, we always appreciate your time. We look forward to watching the Foresters. How many tournament appearances is this for you guys now?
29. Well, 29 for me. 29 for me and 31 for the franchise. Consecutive.
Amazing. Well, congratulations on an incredible baseball life and career, and it's not over. Here you are again in 2024.
It ain't over. Good luck, Bill. Thanks for having me on. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bill Pintard from the Santa Barbara, California Foresters. Joined by Mark Wiggins. Mark, welcome. How are you? I'm sorry we had a little confusion on our time today.
No, that's okay. How are you guys doing today?
Well, that's my fault, and I don't want you to hold it against me. So we're happy to have you. Tell us a little bit about your Coast to Coast for Cancer ride coming up here in not too very long, in September. Tell us about that.
Sure. So I work for a company called Bristol-Myers Squibb in their oncology division. And about 11 years ago, in fact, one of my friends in the oncology division wanted to do a little more for cancer, as his mother was suffering and wanted to do something bigger than himself, and planted this seed that has grown into now what we call Coast to Coast for Cancer. Since its inception, we've expanded to Europe and Japan and Latin America, and we've raised more than $16 million for the B Foundation and cancer research. And so, you know, what I'm doing in particular is part of this initiative. I was hand-selected along with 126 other BMS employees from all across the U.S. They divide these 126 into 9 teams, and we ride relay style from Oregon to New Jersey. And so my specific segment starts in Boise and goes to Salt Lake. And my team is called Grateful in the Grind. And over 3 days, we'll ride about 225 miles. So a lot.
That sounds really mountainous, too.
It is. And so, you know, being in Wichita, right, we don't have much elevation or many hills to train for. So I do, I don't know, I tell everybody I just ride into the 25-mile-an-hour headwinds that we have in Kansas, and it's like riding up a mountain. That's kind of what I do to prepare for that. Right.
So in an oncology department, that means, of course, that you work with cancer patients, I assume, every day. So how do you take that relationship or feeling over now to your personal life? What kind of motivates you in that way? How maybe have you even personalized that battle and that journey for yourself?
Yeah, so I think we've all probably been affected by cancer in some way or another. Maybe we're a survivor or know a survivor, or we've lost someone. I lost my dad about 10 years ago, and that was kind of my impetus to get into this field, was to help people with cancer. Gosh, and it's a little bit of a funny yet human story. As I joined BMS about 8 years ago, and the first time I saw the email come across to, you know, for this Coast to Coast of Cancer, and they talked about the 5 months of training, the hours per week that would be on a cycle, and I thought, man, that looks hard. Delete, right? That was the. I was like, that looks too hard to do. I can't do that. But then a couple weeks later, I had someone that was in my inner circle pass away from cancer, and it was the fire underneath me. It was the kickstart that I needed, and from that moment, I swore that I would never stand on the sidelines again and just be a person that wished the world would change or things would change or we would find a cure for cancer. I was going to do something about it and do something that was hard, mentally, physically, do something that was bigger than myself, do something that was hopefully inspiring to others, to my family, to my kids. And so I have been involved with Coast to Coast in some way, shape, or form since then. Now, I might not be an official writer, be officially part, but I am always supporting behind the scenes. Yeah.
Mark Wiggins, our guest from Wichita. He's part of this this event that's coming up in September to raise money for the V Foundation. He'll be riding from Boise to Salt Lake City over a 3-day period, September 12th to 14th. So you mentioned, man, I don't know if I can do this. I'm deleting this email, and how hard it would be. But you're doing it. How hard has it been?
So we've been training since March, and we slowly progress. We're my team. Well, in fact, really in general, none of the riders are athletes, right? We're not selected for athletic ability. We're selected for our passion to help people. So let's start with that. I'm not an athlete, but I have been training, you know, incrementally increasing distances. Today I rode from Wichita to El Dorado Lake and back, which was 70 miles. Tomorrow I'll do 60. Sunday I'll do 60. So, I don't know, for maybe people could relate by thinking, yeah, I'm going to get up and run a marathon before breakfast, and I'm going to do that 3 days in a row. So it is very physically and mentally demanding, and it's a commitment. A commitment that myself and all the riders take very seriously. You know, and one thing that I've really liked about this is, although I'm making it sound very individualized, like I'm doing this training on my own, so maybe literally the riding is on my own, but as a team, we are a very close-knit group of people. Now, we speak remotely. We've only been together twice at some safety clinics where we were organized and rode together, but we've become very close, and you have to be close as a team because your life, I don't know, maybe not literally, but your safety is literally in the hands of the people that you're surrounded by, because we're riding in a Peloton, just like you see professional riders on TV. We're supported by, you know, a professional team of trainers, but we are, you know, wheel to wheel. We're drafting each other. We're talking. We're communicating. I guess my whole point is the team really helps. You know, helps with the motivation to continue to ride the miles that we do, and of course the you know, raising money for the V Foundation is such a strong motivator.
Yep.
So, how do we follow your progress? What are some of the other legs? I don't know if everyone's doing. You're doing 225 miles, which seems like a lot. Is that the most of anyone? And will this come through Kansas at all?
Yeah, so it does. So each leg, each team will ride approximately 225 miles. So I gave you the distance of, you know, between Boise and Salt Lake. We won't ride every single mile that separates those two cities. But we will ride roughly 70 to 80 miles a day. Then we'll kind of shuttle to the next spot and pick up the next morning and ride again. And so each of these legs is like that all through the U.S. And the leg, I think it's maybe, I'm on team three, and I think it's maybe segment five or six that comes through Kansas. That'll be later on in September. They'll start in Denver, right through western Kansas, and end up in Topeka. And then the next leg, next relay team picks up from there and goes from Topeka to St. Louis. So that kind of gives you an idea.
Wow.
We start in,
Very admirable what you're doing. I got to ask, Mark, how old are you?
Yeah. So I'm between us. I'm 54. Yeah.
There you go. So don't try to hold it in. When you get to be, I'm significantly older, but just go with it.
So why do you ask that question? It's not insulting at all. I'm just curious as to why you ask.
Well, I mean, this is if somebody came to me and said you're going to ride 225 miles and we want you to start training, my deletion of that email would be permanent. So I just wondered. I just wondered your age, I admire what you're doing greatly. So we wish you the very best.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. It paints a picture of the demographics of the people who are, who are doing this ride. Last year we had our first hand cyclist. We have many people where this is their first experience on a bike, period. They have never ridden a bike. So they have learned to ride a bike. And so, you know, if it would take somebody like you, and you would be able to do this with the training and support that we have through Bristol-Myers Squibb and the people that we've partnered with. But I guess in closing, I just want to, you know, let all the listeners know how they can join and how they can support. I hope you hear that my story as an individual is somebody who wants to make a change, wants to do something, wanted to get off the couch. And so that's what I implore anybody listening to do. If you've been affected by cancer, to go to cancerbikeride.org. And that's, like I said, that's easy to remember, cancerbikeride.org. Yeah. And the landing page will talk all about Coast to Coast for Cancer. It'll allow you to see all the different teams and all the different individuals. And if you search for my team, Grateful in the Grind, it will allow you to make a donation to my team, which would be just outstanding. Now, it all goes to the same place. 100% of it goes to the V Foundation. But since I'm the one doing the talking, I would love for everyone to donate specifically to the Grind team. Once again, that's at cancerbikeride.org.
And the goal is to raise $1 million for the V Foundation. Again, Mark said, cancerbikeride.org. We wish you the best. We look forward to following this as it gets closer. And Mark, thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. It's been an honor. And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask if you guys would go to cancerbikeride.org as well and make a contribution if you feel so inclined. It would be great.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
We'll see you back.
Right, there goes Mark Wiggins. Heading out on a big bike ride coming up in September from Boise to Salt Lake City. That just sounds so daunting. Given the mountainous terrain.
Sounds daunting, but if, you know, you're trained and you're ready for it and you're prepared, then you get to see a lot of cool stuff. And I don't know. I wouldn't be able to do it, that's for sure.
Well, you might if you went and got into training. Maybe that's something, you know, you're 13 years younger than Mark. Maybe next year this is something you do.
Unlikely. I don't see that in my future.
I'm going to send you an email about it.
All right, well, I'll delete it.
Don't delete it.
That's not what I have my eye toward at this moment.
What is?
But you never know.
What do you have your eye toward?
You don't need to worry about that.
Well, tell us after the break.
Nah.
It's a good thing to entice people to come back.
What if I don't have my eye toward anything?
We'll talk about what you have your eye toward.
No, we won't, but that's fine.
Coming up in hour number two. The first game of the day out at X Stadium in the NBC World Series, Lone Star Baseball with a couple runs in the bottom of the eighth. They beat the Kansas Cannons 2-1. The Seattle Blackfins and the Hayesville Aviators, they're starting up about right now. All right, we'll be back. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.